Bunch of other things coming up in this edition of America Tonight. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with all of you across this great nation. A big shout out to all my friends in the flyover states. I was thinking about this today. How many of those states have I been in? And the answer to that is every single one. Either spent some time in, crossed over, or went to school in all of the flyover states. In fact, and I'm going to consider this to be one of the coolest things that I've experienced, I've been to every single state in this country except for four. And I bet none of you can guess which four I haven't been to. That's for another show. Here at the top, we talk about the buzz in your backyard. The buzz is still over testing gun control's limits and how we feel about the Second Amendment. The task force that's going to be announced, the findings of what Joe Biden will ultimately recommend to the president, because he put him in charge of guns. And we're going to talk about here Leon Panetta warning that the Pentagon won't be prepared if we have any kind of a big threat security-wise. He's the guy who went nuts when he was told that they were going to hack/slash and basically rip apart his budget thanks to the automatic spending cuts that would slam down on the military, plus other cuts that they were expecting to have to roll into in this upcoming year and the year after that and the year after that. So bleak times for military funding. Others would scoff and say, wow, our budgets are incredible. What, are you kidding? Are you on another planet? We spend so much money on the military, do we need to spend any more? Leon Panetta says, prepare for the worst. But before we get to that, how about Afghanistan? I asked this question, I had a couple of you send emails in, about whether or not you thought we should leave how many troops? Should we leave thousands of troops in Afghanistan after 2014? All of a sudden, Hamid Karzai, the president, is a little bit nervous. He's saying that, we called for a near total drawdown of U.S. forces with a surge of the U.S. and international aid to make up for the exit. But after an ambassador was killed and three others in Benghazi, now things have kind of changed. And even Karzai has changed his tune. The State Department wants five diplomatic posts in Afghanistan. They're weighing potential posts and how many troops to guard it and all that kind of stuff, especially after what happened to Ambassador Stevens, and they don't want to risk another Benghazi situation. There is a chance that we just clear the decks and we don't leave anyone in Afghanistan. Is that a smart play? How many people would you leave behind? I think the problem is, of course, when we're announcing all of this, 2,000 troops is nothing. They could be picked off so easily if you think about it. I don't know, 2,000 troops to be in a place like Afghanistan, where are you positioning these troops? The White House is expecting an interesting conversation where the president will explain what he thinks should happen with Karzai when they meet on Friday. There's been a lot of meetings with Defense Secretary Leon Panetta, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and some others this week in Washington. So this is it. Pentagon calculations call for 3 to 5 troops to guard each civilian in a conflict zone like Afghanistan, with a sufficient number of troops to back that up. So the U.S. is going to have to definitely curtail any diplomatic mission, any diplomatic mission. That means reduced money and support to Afghanistan, manpower pretty much non-existent to manage those programs. So there are 66,000 U.S. troops in Afghanistan. They're turning over territory, handing it off to Afghan security forces. The goal is to have Afghans leading all their missions by the end of 2013. U.S. troops wouldn't be in combat after 2014, although can the Afghan Army Brigade operate itself independently? And the answer to that is, I don't think so, not according to some of the reports that I saw. Are we going to have any kind of a presence ranging from 3,000 to 20,000? General John Allen, who is the Afghanistan war chief, said that post-2014, that's what we got to have. We got to have a higher number because a lower number is not enough for a counter-terrorist force. Where it's just not enough for all these outposts. We'd have to have more. That's a stark contrast between, okay, we're pulling everyone out. So will the president make good on what he said with the campaign that, oh, yeah, I'm going to pull everyone out? Or do we still have a lot of lingering troops? Here's Leon Panetta's take on Afghanistan.
This uncertainty for these next 2 years, we really have the opportunity to be able to put this in the right place to complete this mission. I think the Afghans view it that way. We view it that way. And we are not going to walk away from the sacrifices that have been made over these last 10 years.
All right, not walk away. Not walk away, but where's that money coming from? And speaking of money, how do you exist when they're slashing your budget in every different direction, Leon Panetta?
This uncertainty, if left unresolved by the Congress, will seriously harm our military readiness. The fiscal cliff deal has delayed sequestration from taking effect until March 1st, but that's now less than 50 days away. We have implemented in our budget plan the $487 billion in spending reductions that we were asked to do by the Congress over the next decade.
All right, so Leon Panetta leaves worried about the budgets and where we're going to stand, and also concerned as to what will happen with the troop levels in Afghanistan because of the amount of cash that's not going to be on hand and how we'll have to protect people in some of those outpost areas. This is typical of the U.S., isn't it? Once we have a horrible event, then, oh, okay, now we're going to really beef up what we have to do. It's not Panetta's fault. I think the fault lies with State because they didn't request, I don't think they requested the guards that they needed for Stevens and everybody else connected to him in that horrific area, the outpost where they were in Benghazi. And I would think that that would be a little bit different if somebody even stays there. Once again, coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to be talking about school shootings and another school shooter. This time, it doesn't turn into a, thank goodness, Newtown, Connecticut. It's not in an elementary school, but just as scary when somebody walks in with a shotgun and decides, I'm going to wreak havoc. I'm going to walk into a classroom. And, you know, what is it? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. What sends students or other people into schools deciding they are going to kill innocent people? That's up next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold isn't for you? Ted Anderson, president of Midas Resources, one of the world's premier gold and precious metal investing firms.
I get it.
You wouldn't buy gold if you believed that the government is doing a great job, that the Fed will stop handing out trillions of dollars like bailout candy, that Social Security would be there for you. That's not what's happening. You might even pass on gold if the stimulus package wouldn't fuel inflation, or that the dollar wouldn't lose value, or that your retirement would be secure. If all looks rosy to you, then now is not the time to buy gold. For the realists, there have never been more sobering reasons to diversify with gold. Since 2001, the U.S. dollar index has tanked 30%, while gold has risen 300%. Right now, savvy investors are adding gold to their portfolios. You should, too. Find out what they know. Call us, and I'll send you 10 reasons why gold will do very well, free. 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Land in Buenos Aires, then a shuttle to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
Just when we get the word that James Holmes, that clown that went in to the theater in Aurora, Colorado, and wreaked hell over those people, sending 12 people to their graves and 58 others injured, we just learned that he's going to face trial for that Colorado shooting. We learn of another shooting in California. When does this all end? You have a 16-year-old. Has a shotgun, walks into a California high school classroom on Thursday, critically wounds another student, had aimed at some of the other kids in the class and missed them. This is just a month after 20 children were killed, 6 adults at Newtown, and here we are, we have another rampage. So, gee, is the timing of this heated national debate over guns, could it be any hotter? Could there be more folks who are on the fence that decide to jump off, maybe in the wrong direction because of what they're seeing? And this happened just outside of Bakersfield, California. It's more inland in Cali. It's not on the coastline. He went into school. He called out the name of another boy, shot at a group of students, missed them. There were 28 in the classroom. It's ironic because they had just had a drill for any kind of emergency responding to what happened in Connecticut. They then were forced to hold a real lockdown in response to that, you know, gunfire. So how does this happen? This is Taft, inland, by Bakersfield, 100 miles north of downtown Los Angeles. This is a place where we're talking about people that are very reliant on oil and natural gas production. There's a lot of oil derricks that are there, and when you go by Bakersfield and that whole area, that's what you'll see from the roadway. You know, what is it that drives these kids to do this? It's just like I've said a few times, it's hard to put this into words. It's just so over the top. Where are we going to see more shootings? Is this copycat? Is this glorification of doing this? You know, I want to know, especially since this guy did not kill himself. This guy is stopped in his tracks by two other people who talk him out of continuing, which is amazing, and it's probably the best thing about this story, the fact that there aren't more people lying dead because he goes into a school and decides to open fire, and that he's talked down. They did find out that the 16-year-old planned his attack Wednesday night, and that the gun belonged to his 19-year-old brother. Explosives, you know, the ATF, they were working to determine who owned the firearm, trace the history, and they did, and it turns out there wasn't explosives involved. It was just a gun from the 19-year-old brother. He lives near the school. He came late to school, and he walked toward the campus with the gun, and somebody saw him. Somebody saw him do that, and they immediately called the cops. So now he's got attempted murder charges. And here's what's also interesting. I keep saying I think that schools should have an armed guard, have an armed cop, have an armed person there. Do it. An armed police officer is usually assigned to Taft Union High School, but wasn't able to make it to work because of snow on the roads. How is that for timing? So he couldn't get there. They had a lockdown exercise in response to what went on in Connecticut, the horrible execution slaughter of those poor kids. And then this happens. They got to do the real thing. This is going to be part of the conversation. This is going to be what people are talking about. Why did he go to school? Was it a bullying thing? Was it somebody picking on him for something else? You know, bullying. Picking on him for something? Did it have something to do with some other kid? What is it? What led him to do that, to go in? And the fact that he was talked out of it is the best thing. Guns and schools just don't mix. I mean, kids with guns going into schools don't mix. And there has to be a way to protect these schools. Because, really, when you're in the middle of a school day, you should feel like there's some safety there. You should be in your own little bubble. There, the workplace, when you're working, we've seen terrible things happen there. Church, malls, you can't go to a mall and go shopping without somebody opening fire. Oh, awful. But I'll say this again, and this always surprises a lot of people. It's not the guns. It's the people who have the guns in their hand. It's not that piece of metal. Most people who get guns, whether it's for recreational use or just to have them in the house as a defense in case somebody tries to break in or do something, most gun owners do not want to have to discharge that weapon into anybody. They're not looking to have a confrontation because, you know, you might not win that confrontation. If you're really good with a gun, you might not win it. They're not looking to fire it. And if they do have to fire it, what it'll take for them to mentally make that leap, it's not how it is in the movies. It's not what you see when you hit someone with a gun and they go down. It's not that way. And most people, it takes them, I've talked to many police officers about this, it takes them a while to get over the fact that they killed someone, you know, even if who knows what they were going to do in the house, the fact that they did that, there's a little bit of a period in between where they're a little, I don't want to call it shaky, but shook up by what they've done. So the conversation about guns certainly will continue here on America Tonight. We're also going to take you to a different place coming up next here on the show, and that has to do with Hurricane Sandy, but not so much about the hurricane, more about the tides and the surges. And is this something that we're seeing that's eroding more coastline area? And what can we possibly do about it? I say build differently. Not build in a flat way. Build as they do in some other places. You know, in New Orleans, they learned that after the levees opened up and spread, they knew to build a little bit more, build on stilts. In case that happens again, they have more of a chance of surviving or a flood without having everything ruined. And this is how they should rebuild in some areas along the coastline, because that coastline just is not going to be the same, and things are changing. The erosion and all that kind of stuff has kicked in, and it's made a different beachfront. So we're going to talk to somebody who actually knows about the oceans and says it's not a political issue. It's not about that. It's about trying to figure out how to do things to not put ourselves in situations where we end up like a Sandy and people are stunned. And when they go to rebuild, they rebuild in an incorrect way. So they put themselves in danger, especially if you look at the statistics, they put themselves in danger to end up in the very same position where they're more than bailing buckets. They may lose a house again, and now that whole insurance on top of that is going to change dramatically. So John Englander joins us, and he's got a book out about the surges, about the tides, and how we either make adjustments or don't. But for kids and for grandkids, this will absolutely affect them in their future, whether they are vacationing along the shoreline or whether they live somewhere along the shoreline, things that will absolutely affect them. His book has a great title, High Tide on Main Street, Rising Sea Level and the Coming Coastal Crisis. Sandy surprised so many people with the devastation, and the thing is, the case can be made that we've entered a different era of rising sea level. Almost every coastal city in the world is starting to be affected by what's happening, and they're gradually moving inland decade after decade, and the old shoreline just all of a sudden is underwater. People are stunned, and they talk about it to their kids. So what gives? That's next on America Tonight.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free. Contains all natural and certified organic ingredients. Contains no preservatives or animal products. Supports a healthy digestive and immune system. Supports weight loss. Improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, TerraGanix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
What's better than Mountain House freeze-dried food? Buckets of Mountain House freeze-dried food. Now the Freeze-Dry Guy introduces convenient, easy-to-store Mountain House Survival Buckets filled with our top-selling items. Each item is sealed in a Mylar-type pouch, and each pouch is neatly packed in clear buckets so you can easily see the contents inside. These Mountain House Survival Buckets come with well over a 25-year shelf life and are perfect for emergency preparedness, camping, backpacking, or at-home use. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on freeze-dried foods, and choose our 12-month, 6-month, 3-month, 1-month, or 7-day Mountain House Survival Bucket with 32 generous servings starting at just $69.95. And all orders to the lower 48 ship free. Call 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. 100% veteran-owned. The Freeze Dry Guy.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCIG.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Weakened by GMOs, stressed out about money, and blasted by the electric environment. Hi, I'm Pastor Jenny, and that was the state I was in back in 2010. Then I learned about RNA drops. I learned that 97% of my DNA that scientists have called junk is actually packed with millions of gene switches that play a critical role in controlling how my cells, organs, and other tissues behave. I learned I don't have to put up with disease, decay, or decline like I'd been conditioned to believe. I began taking RNA drops, a 100% natural formula designed to turn on those switches and provide me with amazing health and joy. Learn more about RNA drops and order a free sample today. Visit rnafreesample.com. That's rnafreesample.com. Or call toll-free 888-577-3703. Pay only shipping and handling for a free 30-day supply of RNA drops. Get the information you need and the health you want at rnafreesample.com.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. You know, growing up in the East Coast, we had many of my family members from New Jersey on to talk about what was going on during Sandy. Some of them were hit pretty hard. Some of them feel pretty lucky they skated away with absolutely no damage, just electricity out for a day or two. Now there's conversation, not so much focused on here comes this hurricane, but what are the devastating effects of the hurricane and what will happen in the future for those coastal areas? There's a debate about rebuilding, even Atlantic City or further north, Seaside Heights, where so many of you saw the roller coaster in the water and couldn't believe it, and couldn't believe the effects, frankly, of the water lapping up over an area near Wall Street where the water just came up, the Hudson just came up and was flooding so many places, but certainly Staten Island, and we could pick apart many of the suburbs, many of the areas that were slammed by this. And the common denominator for most of them is they're vulnerable. They're right there on the coast. So John Englander joins us now. He's got a great book out called High Tide on Main Street. Eerily enough, it was released just a couple of days before Sandy hit. And he warns in this book, I'll just give you a quick synopsis because he's in our virtual green room, that the same weather type of scenario in New York City and all those surrounding areas that actually occurred could happen again and again and again. So what do we do about it? John, thanks for popping on America Tonight.
Glad to be with you, Kate.
So when the storm was predicted and it happened, you know, afterwards people were talking about the fact that they didn't expect that it was going to have such a wide swath, that it was going to swallow up those coastal areas. But when you look at climate and the emerging weather patterns, you weren't necessarily surprised by it, were you?
I wasn't surprised by the effect in New York Harbor. That's what I wrote about, is just one of dozens of examples of what could happen to people's great surprise. But I wasn't talking about the width of the storm. The fact that that storm wound up being 1,000 miles in diameter was a peculiar weather effect, like the classic perfect storm where different weather systems came together. And that wasn't the phenomenon I was talking about. Now, the oceans are at least a degree and a half warmer than they were a century ago, and warmer oceans indicate more intense, more of the intense storms. But I wouldn't take a position that we're going to have necessarily more 1,000-mile diameter storms. The phenomenon I was talking about was that as sea level continues to rise decade after decade, and that's the primary part of the book, mm-hmm. but as that combines with storm surge, as we saw with Sandy, and then when it hits at an extreme high tide, which happened with Sandy, that's bad enough. But then in certain locations, and New York Harbor was just one of the many examples, there are geologic or geographic or topographic situations that are going to really amplify the effect. And that's what we saw with Sandy. And it's in New York's area, it's because Long Island acts like a bit of a funnel or an oblique angle with New Jersey and acts like a funneling effect with the storm coming from the southeast, which is what that storm did, which is unusual. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing that nobody tends to remember, unless they're an oceanographer, is that there's a long continental shelf, shallow plate coming out from that part of the East Coast. And with the storm coming from that direction, the water piles up, which is exactly what happened. So I was describing that potential effect. The fact that it happened 1 week to the day after my book published is fairly remarkable.
And so, you know, you look at this, and there are different scenarios, and you do talk about this with the sea level rising, as you mentioned, in the coast, because you've got long-term possibilities or scenarios and short ones. What's a short scenario? What could happen in the short interim time?
How do we define short in your case?
Short meaning, you know, just a handful of years.
Okay. In a handful of years, we can get more events like Sandy, not necessarily that width or quite that dramatic, but we're going to probably get more storms. We're going to get, because storms are driven by heat in the ocean, and the ocean is warmer, and that's measurable. And the combination of slowly rising seas, which we've seen in most parts of the world in the last 20, 30 years, a good metaphor is that in a basketball game, if you raise the floor of the basketball court by a few inches, the point scores would dramatically increase. The height of the basketball players would be the same, and the height of the basket off the court would be the same. But as the floor rose just 3 or 4 inches, you'd see a big difference, as anybody can imagine. And the same mm-hmm. thing with sea level rise. You only have to add an inch or two to add considerable distance to the storm surge that goes on top of it. And then when it hits in an extreme tide, and we're seeing more pronounced extreme tides, the so-called king tides, as those things all come together, we're going to get more erosion. Now, the one thing that most people haven't identified yet is that the sea level part, which comes from those melting ice sheets in Greenland and Antarctica, has a huge run that has just started. And they'll rise tens of feet eventually over the coming centuries. But as sea level rises, and it won't go down for 1,000 years, it's part of a much longer cycle. As sea level rises, and we've come out of a 6,000-year period when sea level has been stable, that we're going to just see this gradual effect. And when it coincides with storm surge and extreme tides, as happened with Sandy, it's just going to be a disaster. So those things can happen any time we get that storm surge. It's that longer-term effect that I was pointing people to as well, which is that after 6,000 years of sea level being unchanged, because the ice sheets haven't changed much in 6,000 years, we've entered a new era. And as I explain in the book in some detail, this is hard to get our heads around, because we built up to the coastline believing that was the coastline, because sea levels changed maybe a foot or two in the last 6,000 years, maybe three at the most, but very, very gradual. Now it's going to go up 3 or 6 feet this century, and could be more, and it'll be worse the next century. So we've just got to really look at the shoreline differently and realize that the coastline is moving inland, as it has happened in the past. We just tend to have a pretty poor sense of geologic time. We tend to think things are stable if they last for a year, maybe 10 years. But in geologic time, 1,000 years is a blip.
I like that geologic time. So here's the thing. My family, where we went to the shore, was Cape May, New Jersey, and Wildwood Crest. And I have seen massive erosion. I know exactly what you're talking about, even in the time period from being a little girl to a grown woman, you know, 2 decades out of college and going back and seeing the shoreline. It's unbelievable to me. I mean, unbelievable. I can't fathom what's happened there. It's very, very strange. So is there a danger, or is there something to realize, as you say, what we think is our shoreline, to building up right on top of where we were, where we had houses and condos and all that kind of stuff before? Is this something to, hey, kind of be worried about, maybe back it up?
You know, actually, again, it's hard to get geologic perspective unless you study it, just like it's hard to understand things at the cellular level in the body or the universe for astronomers until you really study it and, you know, analyze it and do the thorough analysis and study. But with sea level, it moves up and down vertically 600 feet, which is just hard to contemplate. I mean, 20,000 years ago, we had an ice age. Nobody doubts that. There are kids' movies about that now. Sure. And during the last ice age, when there were 2 miles of ice on North America and Europe, just like there is remaining in Antarctica and Greenland, when we had 2 miles of ice, the ocean was down 390 feet straight down from today. That's a 30-story building. Now, it rose for 14,000 years, and it reached the current level 6,000 years ago. That's about when our current civilization began. Our written records go back that far. So we somehow assume that that's where the shoreline was. But back to your observation, now see the ice sheets are melting in Greenland and Antarctica, and the shoreline or the sea level is going to rise for decade after decade after decade for 1,000 years or more. And as the sea level rises a foot, the shoreline moves in inland typically hundreds of feet. So we've come out of this period of stability. I call it a slack tide when sea level didn't change, which was an anomaly, an exception in Earth history. And now we're just barely starting to realize that it's a whole new era. And so those condos and houses on the beach, we need to rethink that. We're not going to stop this. We can slow it down if we do the right things, but we need to adapt to a sea level that's going to rise and a shoreline that's going to move inland for as far into the future as we can see.
Yeah. What are some things that we can do? As you say, we need to adapt and adjust a few things. Give us one of the things that you would do. How could we adapt?
Well, adapting to rising sea level and a coastline that's moving inland means building higher, kind of like they do in the Florida Keys where the ground floor has, nothing that can't be flooded. Means the air conditioners and the electric systems and things like that are raised up to the above the ground floor. It's just a car park. In the Florida Keys has been coping with hurricane damage for the last 50 or 60 years, and the building codes and just practical building techniques now dictate that you allow for a storm surge to wash through the ground floor. And we could take that lesson in lots of places. We should move farther back from the shoreline, and we should really just put our human creativity and energy and technology into designing structures that allow for not just a 3-foot tidal rise, which is typically what it is there in New Jersey, up and down each day, but a much, much higher rise. And if we recognize this is happening, and it's the simple physics, I say that ice melts at 32 degrees Fahrenheit. It doesn't matter whether you're Republican or Democrat. I mean, the ice is melting, and as the ice melts, it's going to flow to the ocean and raise the ocean height. So that it's a simple fact. It has nothing to do with politics or beliefs or can we get off of coal or anything else. The ocean is rising. So adapting is rising, is raising buildings, setting back, and new techniques to recognize and accept that this is a really long-term secular change that is unprecedented in human history.
Yeah, John, makes so much sense. Thanks so much for coming on the show. John Engler, you pick up his book, High Tide on Main Street. Where can people get this? I'm sure Amazon, right, where books are sold?
Absolutely. It's online. It's in all the ebook formats for Nook, Kindle, and the iPad. It's not in bookstores yet and won't be until there's enough demand, but it is available online from either Amazon or Barnes & Noble online.
Perfect. John, thank you so much. You shed some great light on the great mystery of the rising tides. We appreciate it.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay, and after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
It's time for a home security quiz. Answer this. What effective home security device is smaller than a coffee cup, fakes out burglars into thinking someone is home at your house while you're away, plugs into any wall outlet, is recommended by many police departments, and sells for less than $35? Yes, it's Fake TV. This year, about one in every 50 U.S. homes will have a break-in, with burglars usually picking the easy target, a dark house that looks like no one is home. Fake TV is a small electronic security device that makes it look like someone is home watching TV by simulating the light from a real TV. It's like a lamp on a timer, but far more convincing. And for only $34.95, Fake TV could be the difference between coming home to a secure house or one that's been ransacked. Go to faketv.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
This hour of America Tonight, hitting that final turn on the exit. And I'll tell you what, as we race across to try to grab the checkered flag, how many racing things can I put in this puzzle as we move toward the end? You can tell I've been spending some time with an 11-year-old. All right, so summing things up in a little odds and ends here, there were so many interesting things that happened on the day that I felt like I wanted to fire at you at the tail end of this show that I thought I would do that, including the story about this Taco Bell worker who handcuffed himself to a female coworker. What is up with that? He gets 5 years. A Georgia guy decided that he was attracted to an 18-year-old he worked with, by the way. He's 25 years old. Jason Earl Dean was his name, or is his name. And he did this last August to try to convince her to go on a date with him, but she didn't think it was so funny. He waited until the end of her shift, handcuffed himself to her wrists. This was after he made a whole bunch of overtures toward her to go out for several weeks. And the restaurant even changed her shift because she wanted to avoid him. She had no desire to do that. And then he decided that he was going to handcuff himself to her, and the rest is history. He ended up in court. The judge sentenced him to 4 years in prison, followed by 6 years on probation. So it wasn't so clever to do that, and it was a nightmare for her, to say the least. How about this story about a San Francisco man who used an alligator to guard his pot stash? Yeah, the jaws will protect me. Who's going to steal my pot? Oh, and the photograph of the gator was frightening. Cops went into a guy's house for a probation checkup. They found the $100,000 stash of ganja guarded by a 5-foot-long gator. The San Francisco Chronicle actually broke the story. They say that when the deputies went in to Asif Mayer's house for that checkup, they found 34 pounds of pot and the gator in a tank in the bedroom, probably trying to dissuade people who wanted to steal it. The Oakland Zoo said that the 5-foot-long came and died a day after it was seized by the sheriff's folks. And when it got to the zoo, it was critically ill and it wasn't responsive. So the guy who was put in prison was arrested and booked into jail in possession or suspicion of possessing marijuana for sale. Yeah, gives new meaning to kooks. What do I do to protect my pot? I get a gator. That's what I do.
Are we
going
to ban alligators now?
Yeah, no alligators. That's just crazy. You have a gator in your house walking around your house. Are you kidding me with that? The gator was walking around. 5-foot-long gator. And what if he had gotten to somebody? Oh, that would be so scary. Oh, what kind of... It is pretty brave in a sense. But how crazy is that? Oh, it's... I don't get it. I don't get it. There's other ways to protect your pot. I mean, there's got to be. Isn't there other places to hide it? Got to be.
How about under the floorboards like everyone else?
That is exactly. Although maybe everybody would look there, but I know that there's got to be other places. Got to be other places. This is interesting. There was two guys, and I saw a picture of them in the paper. Somebody sent me a Twitter, actually, about a tweet, it would be. Two men walking down a Portland street. Guess what they had that made them so unique that everybody wanted to look at them? They had assault rifles. They said they were exercising their Second Amendment rights. They wanted to educate the public on gun rights. A lot of calls were made to 911 with people that saw them alarmed, because you got two men, guns strapped to their backs, walking through 7th Avenue and Spokane Streets, popular area in Portland. When the cops got there, they found two 20-year-old men carrying rifles openly on their backs. They were also holding valid concealed handgun licenses in Oregon. They told the cops they were seeking to educate people about the Second Amendment. They were exercising their rights. And carrying a concealed gun is legal with a valid license, but doing one or both might end up with a lot of 911 calls. And here's where they could get them, tying up resources for a real emergency. One of the guys told the cop that he hoped people would approach him and talk to him instead of calling the police. The Portland Police Bureau says anyone who sees anyone armed with guns to call 911 immediately. So their point kind of missed its mark in a way, although they were encountered because people saw them and sent the cops after them and made their point because they got huge publicity for doing that. Huge publicity. These stories I don't understand. Why do they almost should have a license for having children? Why do you do this? The parents of a New Jersey infant who died of heroin intoxication in 2008 pled guilty to manslaughter after admitting they rubbed heroin on the baby's gums because he was teething. Oh, there's a lot of things you can do for teething. Heroin, not a good idea. 11-month-old baby JM ingested the heroin And
what were they thinking?
What were they thinking?
Wine's not strong enough for us, so wine can't be strong enough for our baby.
Whiskey, that's what Irish people do. Whiskey, not strong enough. It's an old wives' tale that Irish people use the whiskey, but just a tiny drop, because it eases the pain. Heroin? So these people should not be parents. What are they thinking? They get one count of second-degree manslaughter. They face up to 10 years in prison at sentencing, which is set for February 22nd. Both of them admitted placing heroin in the baby's mouth, rubbing it on his gums because he was teething. This baby died. This baby died. And that is the sad part about that. I guess they're claiming they had no idea that was going to happen, but it was a bad idea to begin with, and then it became a worse idea when the kid died. Just absolutely, absolutely awful, awful story in the end. And it might not have been the intent. Who knows? We don't know that because there's some vague details here and they're not really talking. But I think when it all comes out, when it's said and done, there may be more to this. There may be more to this story and why they did that. All right. And finally, we got a good one for you. The $1 trillion coin. Have you heard about the $1 trillion coin? Yep. They're not ruling it out. For days, people are buzzing about this. The Treasury Department could avert a standoff over the debt ceiling by minting a $1 trillion coin. What is the real possibility? The press secretary, Jay Carney's not saying. Now you have people on the Hill that are just railing against the idea. And it's become a point of debate. The National Republican Congressional Committee has launched a petition urging people to oppose the use of trillion-dollar coins to address any debt crisis. The NRCC chair says he's going to introduce a bill to short-circuit any kind of a plan, saying that the scheme to mint trillion-dollar platinum coins is absurd and dangerous and would be laughable if the proponents weren't so serious about it as a solution. So he's trying to have it stop dead in its tracks. Here's what the $1 trillion coin thing would do. Proponents of the idea point to a section in the U.S. code that allows the Treasury Secretary to mint and issue platinum bullion coins and proof platinum coins of a size and denomination of their discretion. It's mainly for commemorative coins. You may have some. But the idea is that the provision could be exploited as sort of an ace up the sleeve for the administration if Republicans try to block an increase in the debt ceiling. The argument is this. I finally get to the point. Minting a $1 trillion coin is ridiculous, right? It is. And they're saying it's as stupid as Congress refusing to pay debts that it's already accumulated. Sure, why not waste more money and valuable resources and mint a $1 trillion coin? Oh, it is laughable.
Come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.